So today's a little unusual, Sarah. Outdoor radio has come indoors, and we're looking out my kitchen window at a bird feeder, which everyone does for the whole winter.
And this may end up being my favorite winter outdoor radio because, like you said, we are warm and cozy standing in your kitchen, looking out the window at a feeder, and we're looking for the most affable bird we have here in Vermont.
Black-capped chickadee.
The black-capped chickadee, that's right.
Let's go outside and get a closer look at what these guys are doing.
I was kind of enjoying looking at them from inside. You mean we have to go outside to really get a look at them?
We do. I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
We're biologists with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies.
Welcome to Outdoor Radio.
All right, let's head out and check them out.
All right, let me get my coat. Oh, nice and cold.
I can find 25 or 30 chickadees coming to my feeder in the wintertime.
Because in the wintertime, they hang out in these huge flocks. And it's not just chickadees that hang out in these flocks, it's other species as well, but the chickadees are really the ones that reign supreme.
Yeah, and the cool thing that's happening once we get down to the feeder, we'll hear them start calling, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Is that they're like wolf packs. There's an alpha male, it's usually the oldest male. There's an alpha female, it's usually the oldest female, and they're paired in the summertime together.
Right.
But then there could be a whole bunch of them that are in the pack with them, being controlled by these alpha males and females.
And what's interesting is that it tends not to be the offspring of this alpha male and female, but they're just sort of hangers-on and floaters.
Yep.
Exactly. Their neighborhood, and they all flock up together in the wintertime, and every now and then you'll see nuthatches and titmice in these flocks along with the chickadees.
And when we go up to the feeder, if we hear them doing their chickadee-dee-dee call, which is an alarm call, the other birds tune into that, too, and they listen to that, too, and they get warnings if there's predators around.
And even though they don't technically speak chickadee, they can still understand what the chickadees are saying when make a warning call.
They cue in on it.
All right, let's go take a look at the feeders, and anytime now we're going to start hearing them yell at us.
This foraging flock that's around the feeder here, I don't know what, there's probably 10 of them here right now?
Well, that's your guess.
They're hopping all through the bushes around my feeder. And if you listen, you'll hear a couple different calls. But one of them is this little quick chip note. And that's just to keep in contact. It's just like saying, Sarah, I'm here.
But then there's the favorite chickadee call, which is chickadee-dee-dee.
And that one is awesome because it can be a lot of things. But one of the things right now it is a warning call. And in a second, I'm going to walk over towards that bush and we'll probably hear them make the call.
Right. They're saying, hey, there's a guy coming this way, danger,
yeah,
possible predator.
The cool thing about that chickadee song is the more D's they put on it, the more chickadee, D, 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 D's they put on there, the more danger that they're saying there is.
Exactly.
And
we're watching chipmunks steal their seeds,
chipmunk
too.
Chipmunk is out going crazy. And the other thing that they do with it, and in a second I'm going to go make them do it when I walk closer to them, is that sometimes they'll trick each other or they'll trick other groups by making fake alarms.
Oh, why would they make a fake alarm?
Well, think about it. You got a bunch of chickadees at a feeder, and you're in a bush, and you make a fake alarm, and they're like, oh, no, something's coming, and they rush into the bush, and you're like, flap over and eat like mad, like, ha-ha, just kidding.
I got all the seeds.
All right, I'm going to walk over and see if I can upset them.
All right.
Oh,
just by walking.
Yeah, they went up higher in the tree, right. And they gave those little quick alarms, like, guys, Kent's coming. Let's just see.
Well, it's a little bit dreary and rainy outside right now, and so they're kind of staying undercover a little bit, but maybe it's... Oh, there he goes.
Yeah, see, they're still... Yeah. Now, the cool thing you can do sometimes, especially if you're out in the woods, and I know you love when we talk about this, but it's called pishing. And bird watchers do it all the time.
Yeah.
And actually what it is, it's like pretending to have an alarm call from a bird, and the chickadees will all respond. And you can do this in the middle of the woods when you're snowshoeing, skiing, whatever. And you'll think there's no chickadees around, and suddenly they'll come around if you pish.
And they come closer to you in the tops of the trees and in branches.
And they'll come right. I'll pish real quick here to see what they do.
Please do. I love it when you pish. You know what? I think they're on to you, Kent. They're not paying attention.
No, look, that one's coming over closer.
Yeah.
They'll come right into you like that.
Usually.
Anyways.
You know, I think we should go over to the other side of the yard where we've got the two feeders set up and watch them and talk about some of the fascinating things that they do.
All right, let's go see what they're doing at the feeder. So, Sarah, look at these chickadees coming to the feeder. Look at that thing. You know, look at how beautiful that black feathering is on the head and the black bib.
You know, they're like little beefcakes. Their personality makes them seem so much bigger.
And they're grabbing one black sunflower seed at a time.
They're heading off somewhere. That's one of the things we're here to talk about. Not that they're just fun, brazen little chickadees, but that there's something special they do that has to do with them taking food from the feeder.
Yeah, so I just watched one come into that feeder and went way over to that maple tree up in the top, and it stuck the seed in a little notch of the tree.
Right.
And left it there.
Boom, and it just flew away.
Flew away and left it there. Scatter hoarding.
Yep.
They take seeds like this from the source, and they just hide them all over the place. Apparently up to like 1,000 places.
Yeah, even more than that in the course of a couple of months. And usually they start doing this in the fall, like around October. You'll see chickadees come to your feeder and grab one black oil sunflower seed and then run off. And sometimes they'll stick it even in the eaves of your house or around peeling pieces of bark in a tree.
Yeah. And the question is how do they remember where all those places are?
Exactly. Because if you're going to scatter hoard, you got to remember where you put the seeds.
So how do they remember where all those seeds are? Their brain can't be bigger than my fingernail.
It isn't, but here's the secret to the brilliance of the chickadee. They grow their brain. No kidding. There's a particular part of their brain called the hippocampus, and this part of the brain is in charge of a lot of different things, but one of the main things it does is it helps with spatial memory. And so these little birds, all fall, are taking one sunflower seed, and they're hiding it somewhere, and they're remembering where they've hidden it based on what the area around it looks like a piece of bark here or a branch there. And so they need more spatial memory. And the way they do that is their hippocampus grows by about 30%. So it has a better memory, basically.
So every year, as it gets cold out and they start storing seeds, they're literally creating a mind map. Literally creating a mind map in the hippocampus.
They create more and more neurons and more neural connections. But at some point, they've hidden so many seeds, and they've eaten those seeds that they've cached, they don't need to remember, right? So in the summertime, when there's a lot more abundant food, and they're eating different types of food at that point, things like insects, they don't really need to remember so well. And so those neurons start to die off, and their hippocampus shrinks back down.
I totally need this.
I know, right? Wouldn't it be great to have a 30% bigger hippocampus?
And the best part of all this is you can watch all this happening right at your own bird feeder.
You could, but you could also watch your bird feeder from inside where it's nice and warm, which is what I intend to do right now. How's that sound?
Let's go inside and have some lunch.
I'm Sarah Zahendra.
And I'm Kent McFarland.
Thanks for listening to Outdoor Radio.